Good morning to you. God is good. God is truly gracious to us. You know, He's called us to be part of His family. And that is such a privilege. And I think sometimes that escapes us, that we are truly privileged people. And this morning, I was really encouraged by what Andrew was asking us to do in praying for one another. Because for me, I see something happening in the church. When I say the church, I mean not just this particular part of His church, but His church. And when Jeanette shared about her canvas that still sits with me, is this picture that the Lord is painting. The Lord is doing a new thing. The Lord is wanting to do a new thing, but we need to be in a place where He can actually use us as part of that new thing. Because He is actually building His church. And so I want to read this morning a passage from Isaiah. I've got a lot of scripture this morning, so if you brought your Bibles, I will ask you to read them. But Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I just want to read it, because it's been sitting with me for quite some time now. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The Lord is wanting us to let go of what's gone past and to be aware of what He wants to bring into our lives. So for a lot of us, maybe we come out of different places. Maybe you do carry some bit of legalism or religiosity. It's quite a big word. Whether we're religious or not, you understand what I'm saying. But very simply, the Lord is wanting us to let go of what's behind, to go forward. And Philippians 3, Paul says the same thing. He says, "I'm forgetting what's gone past, but I strive forward. I want to go forward for what the Lord has in store for me, that eternal life that He has put aside for us." And so I believe that the Lord is alive and well here, listening to Andrew. And this morning I want to share on discerning what the Lord wants of us. And this morning, I think we saw an example of being in touch with the Spirit and Andrew discerning what the Lord wanted of us this morning. And for me, I find myself really encouraged by that, because we're not restricted by the way we run a service and being, afraid or uncertain to break those particular traditions or ways we do a service. Is there a way that you do a service? There's no particular set way that you do a service. It's what the Lord is leading us to. And to be in touch with the Spirit is what we really need to be aiming at. And, you know, we need this awareness in the Spirit if we want to serve Him, if we want to be part of what He wants to do in His kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's not this church's kingdom. It's not Andrew's, not mine, it's not yours. It's the Lord's kingdom. And He has called us for His purpose. We didn't come along and say, "Lord, you know, we want to be part of yours." He's called us. For His purpose. He brought us here because He wants us here. And He loves us with a love that I cannot always understand. In fact, most of the time, I don't understand the love that the Lord would have for me. I know who I am. I've looked inside here. And I don't particularly like what I see. But you know what? The Lord has done that far greater than I have. He's put a big spotlight on there. He has. And He still loves me. And that I find myself very grateful for. Humbled, because I know what I am. And I'm not going to say anything about you guys, because I don't know any of you, not that well anyway. But we've all got a life that maybe we wouldn't want in the spotlight, somewhere along the line. So anyway, but you know, we look at what's going on in the world around us. And thanks Glenn for sharing that on the Holocaust, because there are things that happened in the world, even now to this day, which come out of the depravity of man. A man without God, without Jesus. I'm not saying without God, I need to be careful about that. But without Jesus, without that born-again understanding of what it is to love one another. Love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, we've got to have the ability to discern what is of God and what is of the world. Because if we look around us at the wars, we look at all the trauma, we see what the economics are, we look at Ukraine and and Russia and England and America all posturing and rattling sabers and all sorts. Who knows? It might end up in a bad place. But we've seen this over the years, that man is totally capable of messing the entire system up. And we get fed by the media. We get fed on the state of the economics. I mean, you think about the news, there's nothing good in it. It's all designed to give you fear. It's all designed to give you anxiety. And the question is what we need to do, or what it is you do, is can we see the difference between what the world is giving us and what God is giving us? Because sometimes the world is very clever at saying this is from God, when in fact it's not. And we need to have the spirit to discern it. Because if we try and do it with our heads here, I don't believe that we're going to make it. So we've got to be able to discern in the spirit. And the if you look at the discerning, it's the ability, I'll read it out, the ability to judge well is to be able to look past the perception and the image that you're seeing and have a clear understanding of what the truth is. In other words, the difference between truth and the lie, the difference between truth and deception. Because whether we like it or not, we've been warned in the scripture more than once by Paul, by Peter, that there are going to come in times where people will be here within the church. I say the church, please understand me as the worldwide body, the church, the Lord's body, the Lord's bride. There will come people who will be there to deceive us. Now, if you're in touch with the Spirit and you're practicing whether you can actually discern between what's happening in the world and the things, you will be led astray, or we can have our faith damaged, for want of a better way of putting it. And whether you like it or not, the church has a message. And sometimes the church has a message and we hear other voices. And the question is, what voice are you listening to? What programs are you listening to? What preachers are you listening to? Sorry, I'm being quite open here. Because I've listened to some of the online preachers, and in the old days they'd have burnt them at the stake. Because they literally preach heresy, and it's not true. And so we've got to be very careful who we listen to, what we listen to, what voices are you hearing? Because we should be hearing with our hearts, with our spirits, as opposed to with our intellect. If we follow it with our intellect, we're not going to succeed very well at all. You know, if we have a look at the church today, there's a lot of there's a lot of error in the church, I'll put it that way. And very simply, the error in the church is not Bible-based, it's not scriptural. And we need to know for us, ourselves, is what is scriptural and what's not scriptural. And so for me, we need to see God's plan, God's purpose, because the media feeds us, the media builds the fear and anxiety. Can we see through it? And so I just want to read to you Philippians 4:6. Anybody else, if you follow me there, I'm more than happy to. It says here, when we're faced with the world, the first thing I believe that we need to be doing is understanding what the Lord wants of us. It says, be anxious for nothing. That's Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to be in a place where we are dealing with that anxiety and the fear that the world can give us. You know, literally you walk out in the street, there's stuff going on, and we need to be in a place saying, Lord, you're in control. Where is your faith? Where is your trust? And the question that we need to ask ourselves, do we see God's plan, God's purpose for this particular body, this particular church, our church that we hear in, and the plan and purposes that he has for you personally? And you know, we need to be very aware of God's scripture, the scripture, and aware of God's prompting in our hearts when it comes to situations. I was having a long discussion with I need to say my granddaughter. And I came away from it absolutely flawed. I really almost speechless. She doesn't mind, I'm sure. But they do psychology and all sorts of stuff at school. And they see no real value in the morals as we understand them. The question is, you know, for an example, one of her questions was, what benefit does marriage have for society? And I must admit, I was actually quite floored by that. And they talk about social constructs like gender. I know it's Andrew's favorite topic sometimes. But they believe that gender is a social construct. What does that actually mean? And so very simply, they see no real value in the morals as we've understood them. And so for me, we need to be very careful to focus on what God is doing for us. We need to be careful not to be led astray by these other issues. So I won't even argue with my granddaughter anymore because I don't know how to. And very simply say, Lord, I can't deal with this. But that is their thinking. That is the way they are. And the world is all like that. So one of the things that I see is that today in the world, many people, most people, are now worshipping at the altar of self. You know, right at the beginning in Adam and Eve, it was all about self, having the same knowledge and power and understanding as God. We are God. They have made themselves God. And they worship at that altar of self. And that is something we need to be very careful of in terms of our own pride, our own humility. And we need to understand that the church, has been compromised in many places by men and women who do not follow the scriptures there, do not follow the truth of the scripture. And we need to be seeing whether it's truth or deception. And you know, at this moment in time, the scripture warns us several times. If you can have a look at Mark 13. We're doing a study on Mark, and I'm finding it really good, really stimulating, because you sometimes have your own ideas as to what was going on until somebody brings up a different viewpoint and the Lord illuminates it for you. You suddenly think, oh my word, and you see something different. And we need to be careful about where we go with this. So Mark 13:22, if I can read that for you. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So take heed, see, I have told you all these things beforehand. And that's not the only scripture. 2 Peter 2 warns us as well. But if I could just read to you, if you get a chance to read 2 Peter 2, he speaks about the same thing, false prophets. But if I can read to you from 2 Peter 3, verse 17. If I can find it, it's in here somewhere. Right, 2 Peter 3, 17. That's where I read this. It says, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. And he says, first of all, he warns us and says, grow in the grace and the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to have head knowledge. It's easy to read scriptures. I've met a couple of theologians, guys with degrees and doctorates. They understand the written word in here. And for us, we've got to remove the written word or the scripture from here to here. In other words, the body is made up of the spirit, soul, and body, and flesh. And the soul is made up of the mind, the emotions, the intellect, all these things. And that's where, for a lot of us, for me to have started, that's where we store our knowledge. But that knowledge has got to be transposed into a genuine understanding, a revelation in our hearts of what the Lord wants. And it says grow in the grace and knowledge. And we've got to read. Yes, we do have to read. We do have to meditate. We do have to study. I'm not saying it's a religious thing. There was a man that was sharing about, and He used to say, I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. And Saturday would come, he'd say, no, I can't join you guys for the men's breakfast, for want of a better word, because I'm 120 chapters behind. That's not what the Lord is wanting of us. That's not of the spirit. That's of the flesh. That's of the mind now saying, I've got to read these 120 chapters. Where's that going to take you? I would rather read literally one sentence in the scripture and have the Lord reveal it to me than read the entire chapter. And that is what the Lord wants of us, is to have that word become a revelation in our hearts. Romans 12:2, I'm sure you all know. Andrew can quote it without looking, so that's good. Romans 12 verse 2. He talks about presenting our bodies. And says here, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is a reasonable service. But what I actually want to read out here, and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I go back to, do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you understand the plan, the purpose? Do you know the strategy that he has for this church? Well, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. And when we don't, we need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, please show me. And seek him with a genuine acceptance of whatever he's going to put before you. You know, it's easy to hear and understand. It really is. But we need to have a knowledge that is in our heart. It needs to change our heart. We need to, just talking to Andrew earlier on, when it comes to the understanding, there's too many men and women today in the church and in the world who want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. And when you read the scripture, it's very simple. It says that we need to identify with the life, the suffering, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because without the suffering and the death, there is no resurrection. There is no shortcut. Now, some people's paths are hard, some people's paths are not so hard. But none of them are easy. Nobody, when you came to Christ, when you got born again, did anybody say to you, this is a cruise. From here on, God will bless you in all things. It's just going to be pleasure all the way. Did anybody say that to you? If they did, I'm sure you've gone back to them and explained to them it's not like that. And nobody ever said that following Jesus was easy. It wasn't easy for him. And he denied himself completely. He had to deny himself and say, no, my Father's will, not my will. You know, it was interesting that, I'll bring it in here. When we talk about the will of the Lord, we talk about the message of the cross, and I will speak of the message of the cross, which is that identification of Jesus, dying to self. And in the scripture, Matthew 16:24, I'm not going to, but you write it down. It says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him daily. But it says, he who would gain his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you will gain it. You know, it's a very simple scripture, but people leave it out very often. But we're not talking about being religious. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. We need to walk in the light. And Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 10, it says, as he is in the light, we need to walk in the light. When you walk in the light, is there place for darkness? There's no place for darkness. Do we have darkness inside us? Yes. But I need to take that darkness. I need to take what's inside me and put it in the light for the Lord to show me what is in me so I can begin to deal with it. When I say I begin to deal with it, you need to understand what I'm saying here. And that is, it's not me to deal with it. I need to understand that it needs to be dealt with. And there's only one person that can actually deal with that sin in our lives, or that darkness, whatever you want to call it. And that is Jesus himself. And he will do it for us when we accept it. But if that darkness is there and we try to deal with it ourselves, it doesn't work. I've tried it. Trust me, I'm sure there's many of you who understand that very clearly. We cannot do it ourselves. We've got to allow the Lord to deal with our hearts. We can't just go on and say, I'm going to deal with it. No, don't worry about that. No, I will deal with it. No. We've got to give it to the Lord, let him deal with it in his way. Philippians 1, I'd just like to read Philippians 1, 9 to 10. It's a old scripture. It's one of the very first. Philippians 9-10. Where are you? I'll read it for you. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." You know, that's the bad news. Okay. So the good news, very simply, is that the Lord hasn't left us to deal with these situations in our life alone. He's actually given us the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we need to understand, that to know what the Lord wants to do, is if you look at 1 Corinthians 2, I'd like you to look at 1 Corinthians 2 for me. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. Where am I? We need to make sure, first of all, that we are born again. And I believe that everybody I'm looking at here is born again. Because without being born again, you don't have that spirit within you that can identify with God's desires for your life. And in Corinthians, when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So what I'm saying is, the Lord has given us his Spirit in that we can work in, so that we are able to spiritually discern. But we've not been left alone. And right at the beginning in John 14, 15, and 18, he says, Jesus himself says, "I've not left you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. There's the problem. You deal with it. Get on with it." He says, "No, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit, who will guide you, who will teach you, who will lead you into all things." And so for me, I believe more and more in this day and age, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we need to be seeking to be friends with the Holy Spirit. Friends with the Holy Spirit. That's a Derek Prince. That's a Derek Prince saying from years ago. He said, you need to be friends with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Andrew shared on this before. Holy Spirit is a person, and he lives within us. He guides us and leads us, but only if we allow him to. We've got to allow him to do it. But we've also got to understand what the Lord's will is. Well, okay. But very simply, we need to be mature. Obedience to God's word is hard. So when we are looking at the scripture, when he says, don't leave us as orphans, if we try to do some of these things that the Lord wants us to do in our own strength, we will fail. We will fail. But it's to do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Lord to do it for you, but you've got to allow him to do it. And you can't do it in yourself. And we do try sometimes. But Hebrews 5, 14, in fact, let me read that. I've got a lot of scriptures here, because what I'm trying to do this morning is to show you that the Lord has already, he's warned us, and he's put everything in place for us to be in a place where we can deal with what the world is going to give at us. Right. Where am I? Sorry, let me. Hebrews 5:14. "But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So this doesn't happen without you doing a little bit of work. I hesitate to say it. I know the Lord does it all for us, but there's some things we do need to do for ourselves, and that is with the reading and the scripture, the meditation, and prayer. We need to learn to pray. I am not a good prayer. Prayer word? Prayer. I can't think of the right word. But I'm not a good prayer, but I know the Lord wants me to pray. So it's a bit of a discipline. It's not a religious thing where I have to do it, but I need to allow the Lord to prompt me, so I need to pray for people. You know, sometimes, I don't know about your prayer list, but your prayer list can be you'd spend, I don't know, but you'd just run out of interest, I suppose. I don't know, you get tired. But I do now have a prayer list and say, Lord, show me who you want me to pray for. And it doesn't have to be first thing in the morning or late at night. Anytime during the day, Lord, who do I need to pray for? Okay, and you can pray for me as much as you like. I have no problem with that at all, because I need prayer more than most. All right. No, we're all the same. Hey? We're all the same before the Lord. So basically, he said that we need to be discerning God's will for our lives. And last week, Rosemary was sharing on the disciples. And, you know, the 12 disciples. And Judas came up, obviously, as part of the disciples. And you know what amazed me? You know, it sometimes you don't see these things. Very simply, Jesus knew exactly who he was and exactly what he was going to do and when he was going to do it. He knew that. And what did he do about it? At the supper, he says, hurry up and do what you need to do now. That's all he said. Now, if that had been us or any sort of human, modern day board or CEO dealing with situations, what would have happened? You would have got rid of him. Seriously, that's how it works. This guy is a provocateur. I think they use that word in some places. Very simply, this man was there for his harm, not his good. So what you do in the world, get rid of him. It's easy. But Jesus didn't say a word. He left him right where he was. Why? Very simply, Jesus understood. He understood in his mind, and he understood in his heart from his Father that was his will for Jesus, that man betray him. So he didn't touch him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know. If I had somebody that was genuinely working actively to betray me, to have me killed, I wouldn't want him around. But Jesus left him right where he was because that was the will of the Father. And he was able to discern very clearly that that's what the Lord wanted of him. And so he let him go. That to me was just, yeah, it's amazing. You know, what happens is Jesus actually washed his feet. Sit down, my brother, there. So his love did not get hung up on who he actually was, what he was going to do. He still loved that man for years and washed his feet without any hang up. And we need to be in that same place. You know, 1 John 1, verse 5. I started late, so I'm sorry. 1 John 1. Okay, where am I? Right, it says, if we say that we have fellowship... Oh, sorry. This is the message we have heard from him, declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. The one thing that I did want to look at here, in terms of discernment, there's two other things, not just the church, but when it comes to ourselves personally. One is to have a look at our pride and the sin that's in our life. And those two are fit together very nicely. But it's the sin of pride, or pride is a sin, whichever way you want to look at it. And quite often, pride stops us admitting or looking at our sin in our lives. Because no, that's fine. You know, and the problem is the church also has a lot of lies. Not just the church, but the devil as well. One is that they say you don't need to be born again to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. But you do. Secondly, that there are lots of little sins which don't matter. They're not important. But a sin is a sin. I don't know if you know the old story of making scrambled eggs. Everybody made scrambled eggs here. I'm sure you have some. Or an omelette. You got 6 eggs and you're making a big omelette for lots of people. And you put 5 omelettes in there and they're perfectly fine. And you crack the last one and it's rotten. What happens to the entire dish? It's gone. And that's very simply. Little sins, big sins, doesn't matter. So the Lord says, you know, we need to look at ourselves. We need to walk in the light as He in the light. And when we have fellowship with Him, when we actually come together with the Lord and we seek Him in prayer, meditation, the Lord will give us a conviction of our sin. We need to ask Him and say, Lord, show me. I want to stand in the light. When the Lord shows us His sin, does He do it to condemn us? No. The Lord does not condemn us. The Lord wants us to bring them to Him. He wants to be able to deal with them for us. And very simply, we need to understand that He is there for us. He is there to encourage us. He's there to build us. He's there to be gracious to us. He wants to build us. He doesn't condemn us. And we need to discern that sin in our lives. John 1 John 1, 5 and 8, which I've just read. If we read it again. It says here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this is the part that I want to emphasize here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, and in the Amplified, to cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness. So it's not something that you do once. There's no repentance in coming to the Lord. Repentance should be a daily lifestyle with us. You know, it sounds like we're all bad people when I say it like that. But really, we do things during the day that are not pleasing to God. What is sin? Sin is just something that's not pleasing to God. And so 20 years ago, there were some things that just never came to mind and never bothered me. But the Lord is building us. He's growing us. He's maturing us. So there's things in my life now the Lord says, that's not pleasing to me. Deal with them. No, Lord, I want to keep this one to myself. I rather like this one. But the Lord is saying, no, I want to deal with the sin that's in your life. And as I say in the Amplified, verse 9 says, continually cleanses us. And if He's actually saying continually cleanses us, we need to be in a place of continually repenting. Repenting is not a word you hear in a lot of churches anymore. But without repentance, there's no forgiveness. Without repentance, there's no righteousness in God's eyes. And we need to practice a repentant life. I'm not talking about being more religious and holy. But as natural people saying, Lord, I want to live in the light with You. And so when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, it brings conviction, not condemnation. The Lord doesn't condemn us. We do. Our little brain goes there and says, oh, I'm not good enough. But the good news, very simply, is that the Lord has grace for us. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. The Lord has grace for each one of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. And so, very simply, we need to understand who's in charge. And Revelations 1:17. In fact, let me read it. I don't often read from Revelation at all. But it's quite a scary book sometimes, depending on whose side you're on. Hopefully we're all on the right side. And it says Revelation, come on, where am I? Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. The Lord has freed us from sin. He's freed us from death. He's given us eternal life. And in Philippians 1:6, the Lord says, whatever He started, He will finish. And I've said before, it's not what we've started. It's what He has started. We need to discern what is of Him and what is of us. Because whether you like it or not, the heart is deceptive. And we'll fool ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I have been fooled by my own heart sometimes, because your will is very strong. And it's for us to be able to be submitted to the Lord's will. And I'd like to just read in closing that the Lord is truly, truly, truly gracious to us. And He doesn't want anybody to not be saved. He wants everybody to come to the kingdom. And he will do whatever he can do, or whatever he will do, which is everything, for us when we allow him to do that. And we've got to be in the place of accepting the Holy Spirit and the work that he has in our hearts. And that work doesn't come with pride in our way. And pride needs to be put aside. We need to be humble before the Lord, understanding who we truly are. Because when that spotlight comes in your life, if you, how courageous are you guys? Because I challenge you. Stand in front of the Lord. Lord, show me who I am. Let me tell you what, that takes courage, because the Lord will show you. And you may not actually really enjoy what he shows you. But that's a part of being a Christian, part of being humble, part of putting your pride aside and saying, Lord, that's who I am. I need you to do this work in me. Because without the Lord's work in us, we're not going anywhere. And the Lord cannot use us for what he has in place. We live in exciting times. The church, there's a spirit blowing through the church right now. You know, Jeanette's reading this morning. Very simply, the Lord is building his church, and he wants it done his way. And we need to fit it to his plan and purpose, not ours. So we need to submit ourselves. So I want to read to you Jude 1:20. And this is, for me, I want to encourage. Please, I'm not here to condemn. I want to encourage. Because no matter who you are, the Holy Spirit is there to build us, to lift us, to encourage us, to bring us to the place where we are serving in a peace and with a faith that cannot be explained. You know, the peace that the Lord gives us is beyond understanding, but the peace will come when we accept the Lord in our lives in that way. As it says here, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then he talks about helping other people. But very simply, we need to bring ourselves and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to serve you, but I want you to change my life. The challenge to you this morning from me is very simply what the Lord is challenging me with my life. When I say share, I share here this morning. Don't consider myself to be a preacher. But for me, it's sharing what the Lord is talking to me about, what he's saying in my life. And I need to allow him that access and say, change me. In his strength, not mine. So, amen. It's not to condemn, but to encourage you this morning. Because the Lord is truly gracious and he loves us with a love that is beyond our understanding. So, let me pray. You don't mind. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we are called your people. We are called by your name, Lord. Lord, and I pray that for each and every one of us, we'd be willing to allow you to put your light upon us, Lord, to shine upon us, Lord, to show those things in our lives that are not pleasing to you, Lord. Not to condemn us, Lord, but to convict us, Lord, to bring us to a place of maturity, Lord, to a place where we can serve you in your body, Lord, to serve you in our church, Lord, to serve you in the greater church, Lord, for your purpose and your plan. Lord, help us to put our will aside and allow your will to guide us, to lead us, Lord, to build us. For Lord, without you, Holy Spirit, we can do nothing, Lord. So I pray this morning that for each and every one of us, there'd come that conviction. For Lord, you are gracious. I know, Lord, you have great things for us. So I thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Worship you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.